Okay, so let us begin our review of specifically those dinim, which are the malos that they osu b'parah, specifically in terms of the differences between the chumras of parah and what we find in other dinim, such as kodesh and truma. Now, there were other very strange chumras that had to do with parah, but those were not in contrast to kodesh, which is how it is that we deal with the parah. That we'll do separately. So I'm going to follow through the Seder that the Rambam gives us in the Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Parah Aduma, and he lists, according to his understanding, of the malos that were b'parah, and starts with the first case, which is that the din is that someone who is tohar for kodesh, and it doesn't matter how tohar he is, he could be on the Mizbeach, he could be the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't matter. And if you have a kli that is Torah for mamish using for the Beis HaMikdash, and it's there, and it's actually has the dominant of Korbanos, it's completely Torah, right? The din is that something that is Torah for Kodesh is considered to be Tamei Lechatas, which is amazing. That means that a person who was gone to the mikveh, he just came out of the Beis HaMikdash after doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to be Seref the Chatas, he wants to bring the Mayim for the Chatas, he wants to put the Efer into the Mayim, he wants to do a simple Azariah on somebody who was Tamei, he is not roy to do any of that unless he specifically went to the mikveh with the Kavana for a Chatas and maintained that level of awareness. The same thing would be true about the kalim. You've had these kalim, they were used on the Mizbeach, now you want to use the same kli to be mekabel, the dam of the chatas, the paras chatas, you can't. Even though they're completely tahar, they're considered to be tameim. What level of tuma are they considered to be? They are considered to be the equivalent of eichlin and mashkim that are tmei. So we'll see there are bigger chumras in which at times something is considered to be actually tamei, as a zav would be tamei, or as kalim that had come in contact with the zav, as we'll see. So this is, that means the highest darg of kedusha, somebody was tevil for truma, he needs a special tvila for kedush. But if he had a special tvila for kedush, he still needs a special tefila for either himself or for kalim when it comes to using it for any of the issues of the chatas, whether we're talking about hazoya or we're talking about kiddush hamayim or we're talking about the milui hamayim or we're talking about the etzem working with the parah to be served to parah, you are still considered to be tamei. So that is the first and most basic chumra, that is the mala b'parah. The next mala b'parah is much worse. If you have a kli that is suitable for being mekabel tumas midras, so in other words, it is something that is suitable for mishkav or moshav, and if a person lies down on it, we don't tell him amod v'nase malachtenu. We want to use that for something else. This is something that is meyuchet for, and is completely tahar. Now, a kli like that is not just the equivalent of Eichlin Umashkim Tmein, it is the equivalent, good heavens, even though it's completely Torah for Kadesh, it's considered to be a Midras of a Zav vis-a-vis the Chatas, the Paras Chatas. Unless, of course, it was specifically made Torah initially with the Tefillah L'Shem Paras Chatas. And this was the beautiful example that we had in the Mishnah, which the Rambam brings the halacha because it's so powerful. Yochanan ben Gudgada hayochel betaras hakodesh kol yamav vahita mitpachtor kmidras hazav leinyan hachatas. Wow. So here's a person who not only would eat, would starve for kodesh, all of his chulin, throughout his entire life, he never ate anything that was not on the darga as if it was kodesh. That means he kept himself permanently in a state of awareness of keeping himself tor for kodesh. for the chatas, for the paras chatas, he had a handkerchief. That handkerchief was like midras hazov. Can you imagine? If it's something that you could sit on, or a mitpachat for his head, something that you could spread out on a chair and sit on, and therefore it's roi for tumas midras, he would actually be metame midras hazov, which is very chomer. Now we'll see exactly how much damage this midras hazov could do over here. So fine. So if we had just a kli that was roi l'kabel tumah, that kind of thing could only be metame if you touch it, right? Because it doesn't have the power to be metame through a million different mattresses to something that's sitting on it. But if you have a midras hazav, so then they can be metame not only by touching, they can be metame just by sitting on top of it, or by carrying it, or by moving it. So they would be tame b'maga, they would be tame b'masa, and they would be tame b'heset. The other kelim will only be metame directly b'maga. Incredible. The next stage that we have. So again, we've been mavdol between two levels of kelim. Now, anything that's not an av hatuma, so normally, what's the halacha? When it comes to being metame odam the kelim, a rishon letuma cannot be metame odam the kelim, and that's even if we're talking about kodesh. But when it comes to the din of the para, the halacha is that it will be metame even odam the kelim as a rishon letuma. Now that would mean that what we said was only tame like a rishon letuma, like oichlin lemashkin, and oichlin lemashkin are only a rishon letuma. And we said that stam kelim, which are not considered to be the mishkav u'moshav roi type kelim, even though they're tahor, they have a din of oichlin lemashkin, which means that they're a rishon. But what would happen if oichlin lemashkin or a kli like that would come into contact with an Adam who wants to deal with a chatas? Well, the din is, even if he was tahor, it would be metame him, even though he had been tahor l'chatas. And it will turn him into a person who is tame and now needs again to go to the mikveh, or would turn the kelim into tame kelim. Now, this was the reason for the strange takana that we had, that if you are working with the mechatas, you can't be wearing your shoes or your sandals. Why? Because if any water would fall on that, it would be stam mashkin. Okay, so we said anything that's not tar for the para is considered to be tameh as if it's eichlin umashkin. Okay, so what damage could it possibly do? Ah, but if the halacha is, this is an incredible chumrah, that even a vlad hatuma can be metame adam vekelim. So then imagine if water drips on your shoes while you're being Isaac with the water. So then that would mean that the shoes would become tame. Why? Because they touched what in a pora is the equivalent of an avatuma, even though it's only a vlad hatuma. Because any stam, mashkim, or ochlin are considered to be tame when it comes to a chatas. Now, the person who's wearing that sandal is now going to become tame from a kli tame, which can be metame and adam. And therefore, the whole thing is a disaster. Because then, if he's going to be holding the mechatas, then he's metame them. Therefore, in order to avoid this kind of situation, we tell you, don't wear your shoes at all. Now, this was the problem that we had in the Mishnah, remember. What's the difference between shoes or anything else? I mean, any clothes that you're wearing would also become tame in the same way. So why don't we have a gezeira that you can only be osik in the parah aduma if you're not wearing clothes? How come we say you shouldn't wear shoes? And this is the kasha that everybody asks, the Ravid asks it here. Why in the world isn't there the same chashash on begadim? All right, so the Geser Mishnah says, well, the truth is, since it's only a mala, midrabanan, the rabbanan didn't want you to just walk around naked because you have to be worried about their mala, so they didn't go to such extremes. Okay, I mean, it's not a very consistent kind of gezeira then. The Aruch HaShulchan says, look, I mean, it's much easier to be shomer that and the water shouldn't fall on your begadim. That you can be careful about. But that while you're moving water, that some of it shouldn't drip on your sandal, that's different. That's much more motzui, and therefore they were gozer. Now, because of this, if you're coming to put the Rambam puts it, if you're coming to put the Afer into the Mayim, so you're being Mekadish the Mechatas, so what he says is, Lefichach amru, Mekadish Mechatas lo yidon latzal sandal, which sounds like the Rambam is limiting this halacha only to being Mekadish the Mayim. But why? This should be even the Mamale, even the Maza. Why would we be making it only for someone who is Mekadish? So the Geser Mishnah says, well, again, since it's only a Mayla, so they chose something to be Makbid on. So we're Makbid on the Mekadish. Okay. There are other terutzim. The Rikurkas explains that the Rambam is bringing Mekadesh as the kol shekain, meaning that even where you're not doing anything that's going to be handling the water, all you want to do is you want to put in the Afer. So you'd think if you're not going to be moving the water itself, so then what are the chances that the water is going to drip on your sandal? So Rambam is saying even on Mekadesh, kol shekain, if you're actually working with water, you're being memaliyat and so on. For sure there you have to be careful. But even just putting the afer in where you're dealing with dry afer, you still are makbid on not wearing your sandal. Okay, so this was another tremendous, tremendous chumrah. You can end up being mekabel tuma through your shoes because the kalim will be mekabel tuma from a rishain latuma. Or from a Vlada Tuma, we're going to see that the concept of Rishon is irrelevant because there's no din of Rishon Sheni Vishlishi, but we'll talk about that later. Next Chumrah. Normally, somebody touches something that would be Metame Yadayim. Okay, you could touch whatever. You could touch, let's say for Torah, any one of the Gezeiros that we had. You could touch Erchlin, whatever. If you then go ahead and you would touch the tar, something that was tar, kodesh, or truma. So your yadayim definitely will pasul. But all you need to do is to be metayer your yadayim. You don't have to be, put yourself into a mikveh just to be metayer your yadayim. But the halacha when it comes to the paras chatas is nitma nitmu yadav nitma gufo. That's the klal. Your hands are tameh, your entire body is tameh, and you have to go to the mikveh, and it will not help you to do even tfilas yadayim, doesn't matter. And this is not yadav, it's even yado. So even if one hand was tameh, the entire body is mekabel tuma. Unbelievable. And this is even though the actual tuma itself was initially only tumas yadayim, which means that by definition, it's only derabbanan. There's nothing in the Torah that's only going to be bentame your yadayim. So it would be all of those things that were in the yutches dvorim and so on. And unbelievably, we're so makbid on it that you need to do tefillah. The next halacha that we had is that if you are tame, and it doesn't matter whether you're tamei midiraisa or you're tamei midrabanan, but you're tamei in a way that requires you to go to the mikveh, then you will be mitamei the mechatas, the eferchatas, or the maz of the mechatas. You will be mitamei them even b'masa. So forget about just that you're mitamei by touching them. Not only that, if the ezov that you had was an ezov that was picked for eating, which is the stam ezov, is roi la'achila, and it became mukshar lekabel tuma, and it now was touched by you, then it would also be mitameyet bemaga. How about if there's water that was in the kli and is not as yet mekudesh with the efrachatas? Can't use that water ever again. How about if you just have a kli that you had been tevel in order to use for the chatas? It was a kli ator lechatas. And you are only midivrei seferim ton tefila. You're metame it, but only if you touch it directly. So that there's no din of masa in that case. And there's an additional one halacha that is a chumrah. You have efer. Efer is made out of tiny particles. So can you be metame? See, you've got a whole big pile of efer. You touched one part of the efer. Does that mean that the other side is also tame? I mean, you've gone through 10 million pieces of efer. Isn't there any attenuation of the tumah? No, there is not. If you're nogea, even the miktas efer, it's metame, the entire thing. So the efer, all of the efer, will become tame.
Ruby, is that like the, you know, kapisharas with the mustard seeds, and what, because one piece touches the
next? No, that's because it's in the kapisharas and it's considered to be one thing. That's true, Billy. The kapish, we learned that actually.
The offer here is.
No, here it's not because it's in a kli.
But is it because the offer is part, one piece is touching?
Yeah, we're looking at it as all one piece. We're going to see anyway that you can be mitami one thing to the next. So it's important to note, that even though the Rambam doesn't bring this here, that the mechatas, the efrachatas, and the mazah of the chatas, we said before, that they can become tame even the masa. However, an empty kli, which was listed here, or mayim that were not mekudash, or the ezov, is not included in the takana that there'll be mekabel tuma b'masa. Why? So the Aruch HaShulchan, he says that only those things that are directly what it is that you're being oisik in for the chatas itself. So like the efer, or the mazah, or the actual mayim that was already mekudash, that is close, so close to the end result, that would, they were more machman to be metame b'masa. But other things, they were only metame b'maka. Okay, next, tremendous chiddush, and that is, ein meinim lechatas rishon sheni v'shlish, which means, once something is tame for one of these dinim of the chatas, it never becomes attenuated. So let's imagine a case. We've got 10 people or 100 people in the case of the Mishnah, and they're all tar lechatas. And one of them became tame with one of these big chumras. His hand touched the Sefer Torah. So now he's tame for the chatas because it was nitma diodai. He touches the guy standing next to him, who is also Tor Lechatas. That guy touches the guy next to him, who is Tor Lechatas. Even 100 people down the line are all Tomei Lechatas, because there's zero attenuation in cases of Tuma of the Chatas. Astounding. What about Kalim? Kalim is the same thing. If you had Kalim that were on this madrega, that there were already tohar l'shem chatas, and one of them becomes tame with an off-the-wall tumah that's only a the gezerah d'rabbanan. For instance, nitmu achorav b'mayim. So we have a general halacha that because there is a concept of mayim that are liquids, at least, that can be mitame a kli, so that would be, let's say, the urine of a zav or the spit. So there's lots of things where there are ma'ayanot that would be metame. There would be metame midiraisa, and the tuma diraisa would be metame the entire kli. So because of that, the rabbanon were machmir on liquids that are tame, because people shouldn't realize that there is a much greater reason to be careful of something liquid. Maybe it's spit, maybe it's urine, whatever. So because of that, they made a gezerah that kalim, which normally are completely impervious to mashkim, because mashkim can never be an avatum if they're not mayonis. Nonetheless, if these kelim became tame by touching some mashkin, mashkin, of course, doesn't only mean water. It means any of the yad, dam, shochat, simen for the shiva mashkin. So then even if those mashkin, they came in touch with the outside of the kli, then they're metame the outside of the kli, but they're not metame the inside of the kli. So that would normally be the halacha, that the kli shenitma gabo lo nitma tocho with this mayim min rabbanan. But when it comes to the bara, there, even if the kli was nitma gabay, then nitma toche. What's worse is that if that kli touches another kli, and the second kli touches a third kli, and so on down the line to 100 kelim, all of the kelim are considered to be tameim, even though the beginning of the tuma was something that was not tame, minyaraisa, and what was metame was only the achorayim of the kli. The entire kli becomes tame, including the inside, and also kli is metame kli, which normally wouldn't have been possible to go to 100 kelim. So we have two separate chumers over here. Nitma gabo, nitma tocho, and furthermore, because ein moinim lechatas, rishon sheni v'shlishi, everything is the equivalent tuma. Wow. Unbelievable chumras. Okay, we'll have to continue these. It's getting late, but this is a fine way to remember the basic dinim. The more complex issues of the nafkamina between the midrash, the machlokas rishonim about what's the nature of madaf and what exactly does it mean, we'll get to Bezrat Hashem on Sunday. Okay, Rabosai, it's been lots of fun, and we look forward to doing this halacha lemaisa. By the time Sunday rolls around, I'm assuming that Parnei is going to be jumping to get his hazoya and so on. And then it'll become much easier to remember, because things that are negei halacha lemaisa are much easier to remember. Yes, sir.
I would like to be the paradigm of the kohen.
Daniel. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Call to Rabbi Zayn.
Perfect answer, said Sally, I think. He wouldn't shine his shoes after Visit Eretz Yisrael on the first Shabbos. He was back in Brooklyn because he had the Avak of Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
So when I was digging during Corona in the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was ash from Churban Bayis Rishon, I wore those shoes on Shabbos. And
wow.
Two walking around, going to Shul in Yerushalayim again. That was the Kavod Shabbos, from this sensitivity the meals meant. That's Menachem Shver.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, Menachem Shver, yes.
Where is this? He's not here.
Wonderful.
I think
he's in Olam Haba. Barnea just placed him in the grave, but we have no idea.
Menachem, not his father-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, see you later. I'll see you later. Go to...